was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor, while the hand they hold behind their backs confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls the string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings as the night folds in on a rising tide. Look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Radio broadcast on RBN Network. My name is Lori Anderson. I am your host for this evening, along with Jono will be also joining us in just a little bit. We also have some guests on this evening with us, which, of course, will be Tom Lacavera Stewart's lady, Lori, Texas 101, as well as Eric Hughes Jones of Courtroom Observers. We have some breaking news to be able to share with the public. Not necessarily good news, but not unexpected news either, and we need to get this information out to you so that we can reach out to you as well for your help and to keep you informed. I want to say welcome, Lori, to the show this evening.
Hello, Lori.
Hi. How are you? How are you hanging in there?
I'm hanging in there. I got a little bit of support here with people around me, so I'm hanging in there.
That's good.
It's a little rough.
That's good. That's good. So why don't we go ahead and start in the details so that the listeners can know. Everyone who knows Tom and has been listening for a long amount of time, they know that Tom has gone out of his way to report the truth to them for many years, to educate them with facts instead of propaganda. And, you know, that propaganda machine is really coming up against a lot of the patriots, whether it be for the Bundy standoff or the Oregon standoff or the situations like that. And they're really, really gearing hard towards individuals who had anything to do with getting the truth out about that. So why don't we begin by telling the audience what is going on with Tom?
Well, the FBI has 5 years from the incident to before the statute of limitation runs out. So anybody that was up at the Bundy Ranch or any incident that happens, they have 5 years for the FBI to decide or not decide that they want to do something. So I think that's important for people to know. I was not in Oregon. I did not believe in how they were doing things. I believe in what they are doing, but not how they are doing it. And I did not go. Tom mm-hmm. felt compelled to go. He is someone that has a big heart and something he wanted to cover for RBN and RTR Truth Media. And so he went. And when he was there, he had actually, what came out in court, actually called the state police. Something was going on, from what I can gather, that was very dangerous out there. And he wanted to let them know, I believe from what he said, and remember, it's been over a year, mm-hmm. I know that he said that there were some children in danger. And as everybody knows me, that's my issue is children.
Right.
And our police and officials do have a proper place. That's why we have them. So he would talk to them about something, I believe, that children were being in danger. And while they were in the hotel room, which I believe was in LeBoy Finnegan's name, a gun was found. And from what I gather in court, he was given a ticket as a felon. That and everybody knows he's got a past. He's cleaned up his life and turned towards, you know, his faith.
But yeah, he's openly told everybody about that and what the situations were behind that. So that's not something that is surprising to anybody.
No, he's not hiding from anybody. He, when he turned his life over to God, he's so brutally honest that sometimes it's like, Thomas, just knock it off. You know, sometimes truth is too much for people. Mm-hmm. But he's that brutally honest. And when he was up there, they found a gun in the room. And gave him a ticket, which, if he's that much of a danger or there was that much of a situation up there, if they're going to charge somebody with felon in possession, you don't give him a ticket and a ticket in the wrong name. So they did not book him. They did not fingerprint him. They did not take anything. So it was a shoddy job from what I've been told. Remember, now, I wasn't there.
Right. Now, here's a question real quick before you go any further with that. When you say possession of a firearm, though, this quote-unquote possession, this was not a firearm that was actually on Tom. Is that correct?
Correct. I read an FBI report today that said it was in a bathroom and was not on Tom.
Okay. And, of course, more than one person had access to that room, correct?
Absolutely, yes.
And this was a room that wasn't even in his name. So there's, they didn't find, we want to make the listeners fully aware that this weapon was not found on Tom's person before we went any further is what I was trying to get at. Now go ahead and continue, Lori. Sorry.
And one thing I want to say is if these people are the federal government that we're supposed to have, the United States government, trying to get him on an interstate commerce clause, and I'm sorry, the Constitution says shall not infringe. You have no business doing anything with anybody with a gun telling them anything. So as somebody that fights for the second as well as the first, who are you and who do you think you're, what you're doing, because your contract with us says shall not be infringed. Shall.
Right.
Not
right.
May, not my, shall.
Right, but, and then on top of that statement that you were just saying, this is what kills me. They use the Commerce Clause, and the Commerce Clause, you have to be in contract with the government. And basically it is, okay, I'm contracting with the government, I'm getting this license, I'm getting this permission, so I agree to these terms. So that is not the case at all. If anything, this would have been a state issue, not a federal issue, because there is no contract, there was no buying or selling of anything, but we'll get into detail with that further later. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, they evidently on, and bear with me, the date might be off, but I believe it was either in September or October, right around the 21st of this year, almost a year later, they put out a warrant for his arrest, which he was not aware of. They never called him, and that was mentioned in court, because, and they, when they arrested him, they said he was hiding or a fugitive. And it came out in court, no, he was not. You could, he was right on the radio. You could call him at any time. He was never telling people he wasn't there. So when they arrested him, I was there. I wanted to make people aware that the officers were professional. They mentioned the word sovereign once, which they were told to knock it off. They, you know, protected our cat. They were minding their P's and Q's. Nobody got knocked around or anything like that.
Well, that's good.
I do want to commend them for that, because that means that we, the people, have done a lot of work in saying, knock it off, and they knocked it off.
Good.
So I definitely want to put that out there. I don't agree with everything going on, but when some things are handled with respect, we have to.
Right.
He had a court date the next day where they had to identify him. Basically, he had a court-appointed bar attorney. We played the game trying to get him out on bail. His second court date for his bail and identity was set for today at 11:30, which it really was about 12:30 when they got in there. He waived the identity. They had convinced him that he was going to get out on bail, and then they flipped the switch on him, and he did not. Basically, he's going to Oregon. He's in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania right now in the Federal Detention Center. I finally found that out. They had already told me he was in Camden, New Jersey, which he was not. They are not giving him his medications. He is under a doctor's care. They have given me his medications, which, you know, we are trying to get him back on his medications. As everybody knows, the reason why Tom got into so much trouble is he has Lyme disease and he has incredible pain. What most people don't know is Tom is always in pain. He is always putting a smile on his face, and he is trying to do everything to find a cure for himself as well. So by now it's been a week. He is going down a little bit physically. He's still okay. He's a little bit mentally down, but he told me to tell everybody tonight, RTR Truth Media lives and will continue on. Truth never dies. I did talk to him about an hour ago, and he said, please mention that on the air.
Absolutely. We all love him.
Yeah. And thank you. And I just want to say one thing to people that are upset with me for not getting news out fast and everything. I'm just a mom. I'm just me. If you were going through it, you'd have to take some time to pull yourself together. You have to think carefully of what you're putting out, because I'm not going to put out, like other radio show hosts, some kind of extravagant, oh, I'm going to blow this thing up. If it takes me a while to get information out, it's because I'm having to pull myself together and strategically say things in a way that I'm not turning anybody against anybody else. I'm going to do this with honor and respect for everybody involved. I know the evil people and how evil they are, but I'm going to keep it nice and clean. And when they get nasty, it's going to really, really show.
Oh, yeah.
So I ask everybody to keep cool heads, be respectful. And first thing I'll ask is just pray, because Thomas has seen some miracles and some of the things he said to me tonight were a little bit personal, but he gets what God's trying to teach him right now. And the one book in the Bible that keeps coming up to me, and as I was driving back from Florida, was Ecclesiastes, there's a time for everything. And the radio played at every station I listened to. I opened the Bible tonight, it was there. I opened the Bible the other night, it came straight to the same thing. And there's a time and place for everything. And this is just Thomas's time to really decide to stand or not, or if people are going to support him or not. And, hey, country, what are we going to do? Are we going to do this, or are we going to falter?
Right. Now, I want to bring up a couple of points, because I received the documents that you sent me, and I want to also tell the listeners, we have to also remember that she doesn't want to come on and let you all know something when she doesn't have all of the facts. And even though he was arrested on Tuesday, all of the facts were not out enough to where she could come out with a complete report like what she is today to you, so that we can get that information out to you. As a matter of fact, there's still some things that have not come out that are having to be pretty much fought over. But something that I noticed, Lori, when I was going over the quote-unquote said indictment, there's a lot of things under this indictment that I noticed, because I went over Oregon law, of course, and I noticed a lot of things. First of all, there is no the grand jury foreperson, even though they claim this was a true bill, I want to let everybody know, I'm sitting here looking at the official document. Lori sent this to me. There is no court stamp. The grand jury foreperson is blacked out. It does not look like what a normal indictment looks like. I want to let everybody know that. So seeing this, is this the exact same thing that you were given, Lori?
I forwarded that, the lawyer forwarded it to me, and I sent it directly to you.
Okay. So first of all, we don't even know if a grand jury foreperson signed this, okay, because it's blocked out. There is no court stamp. There is no under penalty of perjury in this indictment complaint, if you will. Nothing sworn to be true and correct. And there's a whole bunch of more neat little things. And I'll read to you what I mean by that. Because under Oregon Law 132.550, the contents of the indictment shall have the following. And it's not can, it is shall contain substantially the following. Number one, the name of the circuit court in which it is filed. Number two, the title of the action. Number three, a statement that the grand jury accuses the defendant. Did you hear that? A statement that the grand jury accuses the defendant or defendants of the designated offense or offenses. Number four, a separate accusation or count addressed to each offense charged, if there be more than one, which there's not. Number five, a statement in each count that the offense charged therein was committed in a designated county. I am stressing certain ones for a reason. Number six, a statement in each count that the offense charged therein was committed on or about a designated date or during a designated period of time. Number seven, a statement of acts constituting the offense in the ordinary and concise language without repetition and in such a manner as to enable a person of common understanding to know what is intended. Number eight, the signatures of the foreman and the district attorney and the date the indictment is filed with the clerk of court. So knowing the document I'm looking at that I was just speaking with Lori about, and she can verify this, there's a lot that is required in Oregon in the contents of an indictment, which are just not there in this specific indictment. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Now, is that Oregon State, or is that federal? Does federal have a different?
That one's in Oregon. And here's the kicker for that. The reason that I pulled up Oregon was because this was done in Oregon. We don't know who the grand jury foreperson is. This was not done under penalty of perjury sworn to be true and correct at all. It was Nathan J. Lichvarkic. I know I just chopped that name. I really did. He's the assistant United States attorney. This is written up as if somebody just typed it. And they went to somebody and said, hey, sign this as a true bill. There is nothing in here that shows, it doesn't even show a county. Where did he allegedly do this at? Or any of the such. So under this indictment, the said indictment, it's felon in possession of a firearm. They're using 18 U.S.C. 922. Subsection G1. Well, when I was digging into that specific code, I found out some really interesting information because G1, as you know, you have your main topics, and then under your main topics, you have subsections, which makes those subsections understandable. In other words, you can't just use one little specific subsection. It has to apply to all of it. It falls under something specific. So when I was looking and digging under this specific subsection, it actually falls under the first subcategory is under D. So it would be 18 U.S. Code 922. You would have to look under D. And it shall be unlawful for any person to sell or otherwise dispose of any firearm or ammunition to any person knowing or having reasonable cause to believe that such person, and then it leaves it blank. In other words, D is the first beginning of that sentence, and then you have to go finish that sentence with which subsection it is that completes that sentence. So under D, you go to the section, you go to subsection G1, or which also falls under 9, because you have, like I said, you have your subcategories and then your numbers, and then that falls under the other subsections. It's really kind of crazy. So to complete that sentence, is Section 9 has been convicted in any court of a misdemeanor crime of domestic violence, and then G1, one second, is it shall be a law unlawful for any person who has been convicted in any court of a crime punishable by imprisonment for a term exceeding 1 year. So if you read it all together, which you're supposed to do because you have to have a complete sentence, and in order for you to have that complete sentence, you have to read the beginning of D and finish it off with your subsections. So what they skipped in there was putting, you know, D9 and then the G1, because that's how you find the G1, which they're claiming that he did. However, it falls under the Commerce Clause. It falls under, when you look up 18 U.S. Code 922, this is all about contracts and buying and selling of weapons. And, you know, another thing I would like to know is in this, when the, was it the, you said it was the state police originally who went into the hotel room, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So you have state police, not federal agencies. You have state police who originally went into the room. Did they have a search warrant to search the room in the first place?
That I don't know.
Probably not. I'm just guessing. Just, that's a guess. I might be wrong, but, you know, that's just a guess. So even if they had had a search warrant, they found a weapon, you said, in the bathroom, correct?
That's what they said.
Okay. So with them saying that, that still does not fall under this because it falls under the Commerce Clause, and it shall be unlawful for any person to sell or otherwise dispose of any firearm or ammunition to any person knowing or having reasonable cause to believe that such person has been convicted in any court of a misdemeanor crime of domestic violence. It shall be unlawful for any person who has been convicted in any court of a crime punishable by imprisonment for a term exceeding 1 year. Is the way that I'm reading it. Unless I'm misunderstanding something, that is the way that I'm reading it. Because when you look into the main topics, it is an incomplete sentence, and they use the subsections to complete those sentences. So how they would think that that would apply in the first place, and we do know that they are trying to get him under the Commerce Clause, which is absolutely insane. But this is, how many times have we spoken about this? Time and time again, that this is how they are getting the Patriots and everything else. And, you know, I find it awful coincidental that if you remember, Pete Santilli, 1 week before, actually as he was heading to Oregon to go cover it, a similar situation came up, and he was arrested. It was a firearm-related issue. And then we have Tom announced 1 week ago that he was asking for help to be able to get to Nevada to cover the Bundy situation as well. Now, it's clear the state boys did not arrest Tom, so obviously he was absolutely no threat. That would have been a state issue. Why all of a sudden, after all of these convenient months, that he is very accessible to anyone? We're under no illusion. We know they listen to the show. They know how to get a hold of him. He's not hiding anywhere. If he was such a danger to society, you know, as far as per bond, per release and stuff like that, then why did they let him roll from September all the way until, you know, now?
December.
Right.
Yeah.
All the way until now. And then, really, you have to think it was really a lot longer than that. Because that's only when they did their indictment, if you will. And, heck, Oregon, that was a long time ago. You know?
There's one more thing. If this is such a serious crime, and there's a victim, mm-hmm. if he's such a danger to society, why did they treat it as if it's a speeding ticket, literally?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Right.
I mean, this is treated as a speeding ticket. So, none of it makes sense. I know they're trying to go after people. Mm-hmm. I know that we had said we were going to go out to Nevada. That may have been playing into it to cover the case. Mm-hmm. They don't want people to do that, and I hope everybody that's out there in Nevada for Tom gets it out there as much as possible, because when I get internet service again, I will definitely be out there helping.
Right.
But, you know, they just don't want the people that understand the law and know what they're doing and to make this happen. And I think it's a coincidental time frame. I think it's a witch hunt, and I think they've got a real short, limited time to do what they need to do. But,
Hey, Lori.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Hey, this is John. Lori, when you say to make this happen, just so everybody understands, what do you mean by that? To make this happen?
This arrest. This arrest.
Okay.
To make this arrest and arrest of others happen. I believe it's political. Right. I believe it's a timing thing. And these are my opinions. I believe it's a witch hunt. And after court today, they had to shush me up a couple times because I'm a loudmouth. And I believe that they know exactly what we know, even though we were playing it very quiet. We were trying to get him out so we could work on this, so we played the game. They were at every point asking everyone about sovereignty and sovereign citizens. Everyone. Pre-trial was asking everyone that.
God, I wish they would get it in their head. Listen to this on the radio, because I know you officers are listening. Sovereign citizen does not exist. That is an SPLC made-up faction, and you do not sound highly educated when you say that. I am not trying to be mean. I am telling you, please research the two words. It is an oxymoron, and it is idiotic. Right. It is an absolute contradiction, and that's been fed to you through Department of Homeland Security documents that were created by the SPLC. Please look it up. You can verify it yourself. Go ahead. I apologize, everybody.
Oh, that's okay. They, when they started pulling this stuff, at one point they wanted to do a background check to see if they could release him to me, which I passed with flying colors. Mm-hmm. I had to pass voiced out background checks all the time. They, you know, they asked me to use my Social Security card as an identification, and they didn't understand that. I know, and I said I cannot do that. You can, I can let you use it for a background check. That's lawful, but I cannot use it for identification. It says when you go home, please go look at it. I will be fined or punished. And they started raising a little bit of noise, and I said, look. I didn't tell you what to do. I said, please go and do this if you choose. Mm-hmm. But I know the law better than you, obviously. I'm not going to do this. And here comes our break.
Right. And we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Please hang in here with us. We have a lot of information. And we're going to be continuing on with this topic right after a word from our sponsors.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get 2. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Radio broadcast on RBN. And we are speaking with Lori, Texas 101, Tom Lacka, Vera Stewart's lady. And she has been discussing with us that now, once again, another individual who is involved with spreading the truth to many and works hard in the Patriot Movement in order to get real news and education out to the people has now been arrested by the FBI. I want to say this before we go into anything else. I want to say this. Tom is going to need each and every person's help that can help. He is going to need help with funds. Lori is going to need help with funds. And she can go into detail of what it'll be for. But we need to help with funds in the best way that we can, even if it's only a dollar. A dollar adds up when many people give. And you can donate to help Tom. You can send it via PayPal to tomlacavera@gmail.com for the PayPal address. You can find it on resurrecttherepublic.com. Over on the right-hand side, and RTR Truth Media website as well, and you can find that at the bottom. So if you would, I would ask that also all of our great researchers, our patriots that listen to this show on a daily basis and have a phenomenal amount of knowledge, we can use your help. And we will explain that later, because we need some people who are really good at gathering certain information and may be located in the areas where we need that. So go ahead, Lori, with what we were discussing. You were talking about your background check, and they didn't understand that it's against the law to use your Social Security number as identification.
Right, and so they were trying to pull that as a sovereign thing, and I finally said, no, that's your laws. And, you know, I crossed out what they had, and I put down, may use for a background check, but not for identification. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they went and looked at it, because the lawyer was a little nicer to me after that. She quit playing the sovereign game. Mm-hmm. I said, look, now I have a power of attorney for Tom because of what we do. We have powers of attorney for each other so that we can help each other lawfully. And I showed it to her and said, now I'm not going to file any paperwork behind you. I will tell you if I'm going to file something. And I have the right to stand in your shoes if I need to. She said, you can fire me if you need to. I said, yes, I can. Now, I'm the tough one on this stuff.
Right.
And, you know, Tom will tread lightly where I won't. I don't care. Mm-hmm. And by meaning I don't care, it means if you're going to work for Satan's army and Satan's church, which the court is a church, I'm going to use what God puts in front of me and say no. And I know a lot of people don't have that courage, and it's very frightening. It's very scary. And the situations we get into, everybody doesn't understand. I was talking to John about how it looks like we're all trying to go into our own demise. It's not. If you're going to really walk the walk and you're really going to talk the talk, you have to do it. And the reason why I'm saying this, not only are we going to need funds, but a lot of people don't have anything to give. You do have one thing. And it's the one thing that we've seen through the whole thing, or a lot of little miracles. You have your prayers. And if you can keep us in your prayers, and one of the prisoners sitting in there, his name is Patrick, has helped Thomas out. Say a prayer for Patrick, and Patrick has requested, say a good prayer for all the good men in prison.
Amen.
This is where it's all about. This is what it is. Those that don't have faith, I'm not trying to offend you. It's who I am, and it's time for my opinions to come out and for me to stand up for what I believe, and I'm not trying to offend you. So I apologize if you're offended, but things have been proven to me that many people haven't seen. But through this, with the sovereignty thing that they've done, they've been very fearful. They've been very respectful. I've had the chance to let these people know their place in very interesting ways. In court today, I had a previous conversation with the arresting officer, FBI agent, and today I looked at him and said, everybody knows what's going on with Comey. I said, what are we going to do about the ones that are harming our children and the pedophiles? Did you get me a name yet? Have you gotten me a name yet of someone that can help us? And as he left, and there was a gentleman right there beside me that can verify this, the man wouldn't look me in the eye, put his head down, and as he walked in court, out of court, he walked in shame. That's where we get them.
Yeah.
Then I went over to the attorney. She was talking to one of the U.S. Marshals. Tom had been taken out of the room. This person had put a paperclip on the bar behind it. Now everybody knows you can undo the locks that they have on the handcuffs with a paperclip. I picked it up and looked at this person and said, why is this here? And looked at, and this person said, I put that there. And I said, why? Isn't it your job to protect the people and the prisoners? That's kind of foolish. Please take this and put it back in your pocket. So even though they act tough at you, and he'd smarted off to me that it wasn't a message center when I wanted to go to the bathroom in the first case, I wanted to make sure I could stay in the courtroom, I got my little digs in too. So anytime you can go into these people and say, look, you want us to be perfect, you want us to do these things and treat you with respect, then do your job, do it with respect, and let's really go out there and clean this up and stop playing around and being little jerks. So, you know, even though I couldn't talk in court, these people got the message, hey, you want to play the sovereign game? I didn't play it, but I will hit them hard in the next court cases no matter where I'm at. Mm-hmm. They will get hit hard here soon.
Right.
With respect and honor and no harm to them.
Well, right. And that's the thing. You know, when you're standing with truth, you don't have to have any kind of ill intent, because that lantern shines bright in the darkness. And
one thing, Lori, they were very quiet. For some reason, the devil, when he speaks through these people, mm-hmm. he can't talk very loud when a good person's in the room. It was real hard to hear them because they were mm-hmm. just real quiet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I tend to notice that as well. Well, I would suggest that the law enforcement that's listening to this show tonight, please definitely look up. It is definitely against federal law in order to force somebody to use a social security number for identification. And you can look up federal law section 7 of public law 93-579. It provides it shall be unlawful for any federal or state or local government agency to deny any individual any right, benefit, or privilege provided by law because of such individual's refusal to disclose his Social Security account number. Federal courts have ruled that the Privacy Act applies equally to the private sector. You can also check out CFR 83.9, 5 U.S.C. Section 552A, 7 CFR 1.123, 7 U.S.C. Section 2204G, 14 CFR 1212.604, 17 CFR 249.501A, 19 CFR 118.11, 19 CFR 122.25, and would you like me to continue?
Go for it.
Okay, let's see.
I knew you'd have those before this call.
Oh, yeah, I've got it. 19 CFR 24.524, CFR 5.212, 28 CFR 16.53, 28 CFR 513.31, 28 CFR 700.25, 29 CFR 70A and Section 10, 29 CFR 71.12, 31 CFR 1.32, 31 CFR 501.806, 32 CFR 270.19, 32 CFR 310.20, 32 CFR 311.5, 32 CFR 316.6, 32 CFR 317.20, 32 CFR 323.5, 32 CFR 505.2, 32 CFR 701.108, 32 CFR 806B, subsection 9, 38 CFR. Oh, no, I've got plenty more. So the point is, officers, please keep this recording. Look each and every one of them up. You can also go to your socialsecurity.gov website. Also, you can look up 42 USC section 408. It provides that, quote, whoever discloses, uses, or compels to disclosure of Social Security number of any person in violation of the laws of the United States shall be guilty of a felony, and upon conviction thereof shall be fined under Title 18 or imprisoned for not more than 5 years or both, unquote. Enjoy. We love spreading educational information on this show. So we do have a caller. Jim, please hold on the line. We definitely know you are there. Give us just a moment. We need to finish what's going on with this. Okay. Go ahead and continue, Lori.
Well, basically, they denied him bail because he was a flight risk, and they felt that he was a danger to society. And, you know, as I was driving back from Florida to come up here to New Jersey, one of the things that made me break down is Tom is insane when it's trying to go anywhere or trying to help people. Mm-hmm. Anybody's on the side of the road, he stops. Anybody sees in the store, whatever he needs to do, he'll stop and help people. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of the last road trips we had, he got on to me because I said, we can't stop, we've got to go somewhere. He said, well, if you were on the side of the road, I'd want someone to stop for you. Mm-hmm. And he really got on to me for it. Right. And there was a lady stopped on the side of the road, and the car was full. I couldn't help her. I was on the other side of the highway, and I just prayed, you know. And it all happened slow motion, and as I was going way past her, a gentleman pulled up and helped her. And, you know, that's Tom. That's who Tom is. Mm-hmm. And it just, for them to say that he was a detriment to society with everything happened in 2006 and 2007. You know, he had one incident here in New Jersey. He told everybody about somebody had attacked his mother. Mm-hmm. And a ticket had been mailed to him after he left for Alabama. So mm-hmm. he never saw it. And, you know, they're saying all these things, but they're not taking in consideration. You can find Tom. You can pick up the phone and call him. His email and his number are right on RBN's website.
Yeah.
He doesn't hide on what he does, and he takes every call he can. You know, a lot of our time was taken by other people and helping other people. And I don't regret it. I don't resent it. I don't have a problem with it. I stayed out of it because that's what he knew and that's what he did and that was his heart. Mm-hmm. So for them to say that, it was just, it was hard on him because he takes these things so seriously. Mm-hmm. So he's supposedly a threat to society and a risk of flight and everything else.
Right, but he hasn't been for almost a year, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So he hasn't been for almost a year. The state police didn't pick him up. And then all of a sudden, he's a risk now to society, conveniently, because of the feds, whatever reason. I wonder if they consider the individuals that were working for the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms a threat to society since they were selling guns to known Sinaloa drug cartel.
Let me tell you who is a risk to society and is right up the street from where Tom is being held unlawfully. Go on YouTube and type in Kids for Cash. This is a story broken by a Pennsylvania state trooper. His story was written by Lou Jasikoff. This is in, I believe, Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. I might be one county off. And Judge Michael Civarella and Mark Civarella and Judge Michael Conahan, these are both judges, I believe both of them are in prison now, one of them is doing 30 years, for taking $1.2 million in kickbacks to incarcerate as many children in a private prison as possible. They threw one kid in there for hitting another kid in the head with a volleyball, 3 years. Somebody had a fight on Facebook. 5 years, families crying in court, being torn apart. Guess who built the prison? The 1,350-bed prison facility for children, privately owned, by the son of the Chief Justice of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. Every single CPA, lawyer, the judge of the Supreme Court, his son who built the prison, every single one of them is in on this. And the only two people in prison are the judge, Mike Civarella, who they busted and sent up the river, and rightfully so. Okay, now he's in cars. He destroyed how many families? How many kids' lives did he ruin? He's in prison for it right now as we speak. Somebody want to go visit him and confirm that? Go right ahead. It's Kids for Cash is the video, and you can see there's many mainstream articles and YouTube videos and movie productions and documentaries about this. And meanwhile, they're holding Tom on a completely victimless crime. This is nothing more than patriot persecution. And I want everybody to get solutions. Make your voice heard. If you don't have a few bucks to kick in, even if you do, get on the phone and make your voice heard. The phone calls do help. Don't let anybody tell you, oh, the phone calls don't help. You're just calling, spitting into the wind.
Oh, they help.
BS. I've seen 80 to 90% success rate when you put the heat where it belongs, which is on the Vicar's office. That's V-I-C-A-R, if I have to say it again. And Lori from Texas just kicked in when we were talking a few hours ago. She said, oh, I didn't know about that Vicar thing. I wasn't sure. Sounded like a little off the wall. And wait till you hear what she can confirm. Yeah, they admit to being over the courts. I had the Vicar General of Nashville, Tennessee, David Chobe, tell one of my courtroom observers that, oh, you don't want to talk to me, the Vicar General. You want to talk to the Archbishop, David Perkin. He's in charge of all the legal and legislative issues. That was admitted by the Vicar General of Nashville. So look, if you want to help Tom, get on the phone, make your voice heard, get emails, send emails, and bury them. Make your voice heard. It is not. It makes a difference. It is not insignificant when you get involved. So if your people are out, hey, this is patriot persecution. This is it. And if Donald Trump's for real, I want to see Jeff Sessions, the new AG, the new Attorney General for the United States of America Corporation, which I don't see unincorporating anytime soon, but let's just hope that he uses his corporate status as a corporate/government officer who put forth a, I want to see legislation. I don't care if it's introduced by Trump, Sessions, a congressman, me, Lori Anderson, Lori Texas, one of you out there listening, Chris in Vegas, a brilliant common law scholar. We need a very brief, not this 32-inch pile of paper stuff that many people are pimping out there. One page, maybe two. Okay? A Patriot Persecution Act, which makes it unlawful to open any investigation against any patriots unless there's a direct, immediate victim to their crime, and the state cannot be a victim. The United States Corporation cannot claim victim status. We can't have any more cops writing where it says victim on their report, writing in society. Society is not a victim. Yeah. It doesn't exist. It's a fictitious entity. So I want Trump for real and Sessions for real. I want Patriot Persecution Act, and I want actions against all government corporate agents involved in the persecution of Tom McAvara, Pete Santilli, Cliven Bundy, Ammon Bundy, name them. There's tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of patriots sitting in prison languishing right now. As
absolutely.
If this were Nazi Germany and communist China, and they can't get out. How about, let me just cite one. Victor DePonso in Rochester, New York, a black man, had an organization called Jail for Judges. And he had people from all over Rochester and Monroe County and Western New York coming to him with direct evidence of judicial corruption, judges forcing people to give them drugs to let their kids off, forcing women to sleep with them to get their relatives off, claiming they weren't on corporations when they were one of the board of directors. Judge DeNolfo, Daniel Doyle, judge of the Supreme Court in New York, writing a ruling and then defying his own written ruling. There's no justice in the witch's court. So, with the heat on the Vicar General's office, if you stir the pot from the top down, that will help Pete quite a bit. First they came for Cliven Bundy, and I didn't like Mormons and Cliven this, and he should have paid his rent on his cattle, but we didn't stand up for Cliven. Then they came for Pete Santilli, and we didn't like Pete because he threw a bunch of F-bombs and maybe did this or that. And then they came for Tom. We didn't stand up. And then they're going to come for us. So everybody out there in the alt media, so to speak, Rivero, Stantmiller, Alex Jones, Joyce, everybody, this is now they're coming for the talk show hosts, okay? The enemy's not just in the gate. They're in the room. They're in the building. So everybody needs to get involved in this and make their voice heard. I don't care if it's donate money, make phone calls, send emails, protest, pass out jury nullification flyers in your own neighborhood. That helps prevent the situation from happening to you in your own community. So I'll try to calm down for a minute and kick it back to you, Lori's.
Absolutely. And to everybody, that was Eric of Courtroom Observers.
And Lori, one of the other things, the courtroom is in Camden, New Jersey, and if anyone's been there, it's the pit of hell. Mm-hmm. You can go two or three blocks from the courtroom, and if they want to say that he's a detriment to society or harmful to society, all they have to do is, I'd say to that judge, walk by yourself down that street. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I wouldn't walk down that street and I'm brave. There are drug deals. There's hookers. There's murderers. There's rapists. That I was told not to go more than a certain number of feet from that courthouse or I would be in trouble. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a heroin addict came up to me and I gave her a couple of cigarettes. A couple of the people came up to me when I was crying and they consoled me. I'm not afraid of these people, right. But it is very scary down in Camden, and for them to be stationed in that area saying Tom is worse than these people that they work around and they don't clean up their own backyard,
right?
Shame on you guys. Shame right. on you.
So here's
you
a question.
Clean up your own area.
Jersey's a hole, and they have a lot of gall scooping up somebody out of victimless crime when they're struggling to get out. And by the way, people, you know, if you value the reporting that you were getting from Bundy Ranch and from Oregon, it came from guys like Pete and like Tom. And so, you know, this is we need everybody who's in listening to this right now to get involved. And we'll try to provide some phone numbers and more specifics in the next few days. I'm sure Lori will agree to that. But
I've got to address this because a lot of people are getting their knickers in a twist. We're asking for support because we do what you can't do, won't do, aren't able to support whoever you choose. But everybody in the media, we live on air sometimes.
Yes,
and the wing and a prayer. And even if you go and buy a tank of gas for an activist or someone, it helps. If you've got somebody in your area, buy them a tank of gas that goes really far to get them to these meetings. Everybody's saying, well, why do you guys always ask for money? Because things don't come for free, guys. And I want prayers. I need money, but I want prayers. That's just how life works. And when somebody says, you know, when I was a little kid, my mom would always say, oh, they won't let things do. And as John Mesmer says, who are they? Well, I'm going to tell you who they are. They are Ammon Bundy, okay? Tom LaCavera, Lori Anderson. You name the one that you know that's giving you the information, going to the meetings and standing up. I can put my name out there, Lori, as well. There's so many around the world that are they trying to make it not happen. While you watch TV or take your kids to your football games or go to Boy Scouts like I used to do, I stopped doing that when I woke up. And my son suffered so that I could go and make it a better world for him and for you. And there's millions of other people. Like I said, tonight I'm going to say I don't like doing it, but I'm going to make it personal tonight. We aren't perfect. Everybody makes mistakes and choices, but we do the best we can. And let me tell you, everybody that I know that's in this movement, as everybody calls it, has made changes and has actually saved your life and stopped wars. We have literally stopped so many things behind the scenes, and all we get is people making excuses, calling us out for our flaws. The only one that was supposedly perfect was Jesus, and I have flaws too. And one is I'm opinionated, and I'll tell you off in a heartbeat. Sorry for it, but that's who I am, and that's what makes me. That's what makes me strong. Yep. That.
Right.
But it makes me strong in what I do. So, just for those naysayers that are out there that have been hitting me hard, I love you. I'm saying prayers for you, and I hope one day when things happen around you that you have 10 million people behind you helping you out and you don't fall.
And if you do, I hope that we're still around to be able to help, too. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, because Lori Texas 101 and I were talking earlier today about it's very the same thing. And, you know, one of the attributes of folks in the Patriot movement and what we do, whether it be an activist or just, you know, the everyday person going about their lives, but a patriot nonetheless, is that we're supposed to, we think of ourselves as being different and that, you know, and that we conduct our lives with honor and dignity and we respect, our, you know, fellow patriots and, you know, our fellow men as a whole. Well, Let's let that attribute shine forth today and tomorrow even in terms of let's show the world that we stand behind each other and we support each other. And we live in a practical world, and in a practical world, we need money to do everything just about, to move about, to have clothes and food to eat and to warm our bodies, to hire, you know, attorneys when necessary and things like that. So let's support Tom and Lori, and let's hit that donation button on ResurrectTheRepublic.com or RTR Truth Media, and let's show our support.
If you can't pray.
There's every time Tom needs it. Now, here's
now,
the commercial
break. For the people who question why activists ask for money, I don't think y'all out there who aren't really hardcore activists understand how much time that the activist spends. Like, I know I've spent hundreds and hundreds of hours on the phone with people whose lives are falling apart because they're getting unlawfully dragged under the witch's court. It's a lot of work. It takes time. People call all hours of the night. Your text, it could take an hour just to clean out your text box sometimes. I mean, this is not, it's very difficult to have a life, keep a job like quote-unquote normal person, and still be a real activist and have a radio show or an organization. Or this is not. I mean, you get one or the other, folks. You're either going to have to support your fellow activists and your fellow patriots, or stuff like this is just going to blow away in the wind, and you're not going to have any place to get your information, no place to get activism and network with other people, no place to make your voice heard, and that's going to make everybody suffer. So if you got $5, throw it in.
Okay.
It does help. Your $5.
And we're coming up on a
lot of money.
We're coming up on a break here. We'll have to hold that thought. and then we'll get to our callers when we come back. Please hang with us. After a word from our sponsors, we'll get to our callers.
Would odors, mold, and mildew describe your basement or crawl space? It doesn't have to be that way.